Hello, hello. Welcome to Season 4 of the Chicago Techies Podcast, the show that highlights the voices of Chicago innovators and their journeys. This season, we're shining a spotlight on founders, from bootstrap beginnings to bold visions. We're diving into what it really takes to build right here in Chicago. I'm your host, Cecilia Benitez. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, Gavin, thanks for joining me in this week's episode of the Chicago Techies Podcast. How are you?
Hey, I am so great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, excited to chat. But for anyone who doesn't know, let's share your name, pronouns, where you're from, and your current role.
Yes, my name is Gavin Buckland, and I originally grew up in off of the mighty Mississippi in Iowa.
Mississippi.
Yep, and then came out here for college. I followed my then girlfriend at the time, and fast track a few years later, we got married, got a house once we graduated, and just kind of, you know, in jobs, just kind of planted roots. Never really planned to or had a vision for being in the Chicago area, but man, it's just like been such an awesome time the last 12 years, 13 years that we've been here, and just really grown close with our community here. And so it's been awesome.
Yeah. And what's your current role?
I am the founder, kind of like creative director, lead editor, and motion designer at Voke Studios, which is a post-production company. So we work with production companies and agencies and brands to do all of their advertising, marketing, commercials.
Cool. And you use he, him pronouns?
Yes.
Just to make sure. Okay. All right. So Voke Studios, sounds cool. It was unique. I was like, oh, tell me more, because you have a lot of different products that are very technical also, and like, you know, AI driven. So let's take us back from the beginning. Like, what led you to co-found Voke Studios, and, you know, how did you get started from the beginning?
Yeah, well, I think if you want to go back to the very beginning, it probably involves a romantic night between my mother and my father. But if you want to fast forward a little bit from there, it probably starts when I was a little bit older, like 7 or 8. And my grandpa actually let me use his old camera, and I would just record and make movies and stories. And I love writing and, yeah, just storytelling. And then fast forward through into college, and for some reason, my parents supported me going to film school and pursuing, you know, art as a profession. And I got connected to a creative agency out here in Chicago and became a assistant editor there, where we're working on some of the large campaigns for some of the biggest nonprofits in the world, like World Vision and Compassion International. And I just really got to cut my teeth there creatively as a storyteller, working for clients and helping get their mission out. I was there for 6 years, became director and an editor, and that's where I learned everything that I know and got to really see what it takes to lead an organization at that level. Yeah. And to be a leader of creatives. I love bringing people together. And so as a director there, I got to do that on set and through different projects. And those 6 years were amazing. And I, you know, still have some really close friends from that time. But it was really hard too, because when you're young, you're giving it your all, right? You're going all in on the thing that you're passionate about. And I was. And I left, though, after those 6 years, really burned out, like really kind of creatively lost. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do as it related to like my creativity. I was doubting, did I have what it takes to do this at a bigger level and, you know, continuing to grow and stuff, and just kind of had that like real, I would say like kind of a quarter life crisis moment where I was like looking to go back to school, completely get out of the industry, change my profession. I think I was looking at, I was in talks with an admission rep at a college in Kentucky for becoming a chiropractor, doing like a chiropractic sports science degree. And it's just like funny, like thinking about that time, you know, which is fine if you want to do a new pivot and you want to do a new thing in your life. But I look back at that time for me, and it was for sure I was like, you know, floundering a bit and not really sure. I was just very lost on what I wanted to do. And it took me being like going through this 6-month program that was kind of a mixture of creative coaching with like therapy, where you would dive into your past, your family history and everything, but also talk about your goals and dreams for your life and kind of figure out where the intersection of those two things were, what was kind of pulling you back and what you really like wanted to dream for your life. And so I think going through that just really gave me the time and space to rehabilitate a bit and figure out what I wanted to do. And in that, I discovered my love for, one, bringing people together, and two, crafting film in the post-production process. So as you get more and more specialized and more bigger projects, you're going to find that in the film industry, you really hone in on what you want to do and what you need. You'll find instead of just a filmmaker who's doing it all from pre-production all the way to post, you're finding that there's going to be a producer who's handling pre, a director who's handling the main shoot, and then a editor, you know, who's doing the post, as well as sound designers, colorists, motion designers, animators, the whole thing, VFX artists. And I just saw a lot of my background and passion be, you know, editing was my first love. And so getting back to that, going, you know, I'm only involved with film so that I can edit, so that I can bring things together. And what would it look like to bring those specialized people together under one umbrella? And that's where Vogue Studios was born. So we, like I said, we work specifically with other directors, other creatives. And at an agency level where I had come from, we're working directly with the client. And that's great. But what I love is working with the other creatives. So my clients are actually people that speak the language and have a vision, you know, for something. And we get to bring that to life. So it's really fun getting to dream with other creatives and go, okay, yeah, but what if we could do this? Or what if we could do that? And they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. I didn't know that was possible. We're bringing in a lot of that technical knowledge of softwares and technology on how to bring an idea to life, especially through animation and visual effects.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more deeper in that tech aspect, but I think first I want to commend you for, going through it, because I feel like a lot of people right now are there, you know, going through those challenging moments of like not understanding where they're at in life and where they want to head. Times are hard right now, especially with, you know, with, the new administration, with the layoffs, with tech layoffs, with just everything is hard right now. So I feel like, I like the way that you framed it, that it was, you know, that it's okay for people to pivot. It's okay for people to have those hard times. But I think it's like, those are pivotal moments that something beautiful can come out of it, you know? And I like that you had those early challenges that essentially shaped your direction into what you wanted to do next. And kind of, you know, what was born out of those moments. So, but yes, let's talk through, Vogue, you know, what you guys do, your services, clients, like the creative vision for it. So can you share a little bit more of all the products that you all carry and have?
Yeah. So back in 2023, when Vogue was first kind of getting started, and as I was getting more involved on bigger projects with a bigger, you know, we're needing bigger scale. It's not just Gavin as the editor that's working on something, but looking at the whole post-production pipeline and the whole process. I was working on a project. It was very quick turn. I was on location editing for Jim Beam, and they were having an event where they were going to be, you know, bringing all of their employees, thousands of employees from around the world to this event. And the team that I was working with was filming, and then they needed a highlight video from all of the content that they were filming shown at the event a day later. And so I'm in this hotel room, and my job is to aggregate all this footage together and then pump out this highlight video in a very, very quick turn. That's high quality, impactful, has very specific moments. I was given 6 hours of footage, and it needed to, you know, get reduced down to 2 minutes in 48 hours. So I'm sitting in the hotel room, 3 a.m., I'm still sorting through footage, and I'm trying to find those good moments, you know, as person smiling, the person says a great line or whatever. And I was just like, man, there has got to be a better way to do this, because once I'm done sorting through all the footage, I have barely any time to put my creative energy into it. I have, you know, no sleep, so I don't have much creative energy. And then two, I just don't have the time because this is due. So as I was up against that, you know, I was like, what exists out there technologically that can remove the mundane processes of just trying to figure out what good footage exists in this heaping pile of hours mm-hmm. and hours of content? And there wasn't anything. At the time. And I was really surprised by that. And so I had gotten, you know, just being the, I think, curious person that I am to a fault, I got involved with this kind of like AI forum group and for founders. And we were just chatting ideas back and forth, a mixture of technical, non-technical. I threw my idea out there of like, is there something that could watch this footage for me, select the good moments and reduce it down to at least maybe like by 75%. So then instead of 6 hours, I'm like dealing with an hour of footage, of good footage to start editing. And one guy responded and he was like, yeah, I think that would be possible. And he just like out of his own kindness of his heart, he did like a little proof of concept, you know, testing some algorithms, you know, doing some developing. And it was yielding some really good results, promising. And so I invested a little bit more money. We took it further, did a, I would say maybe a MVP, like very basic proof concept, or was integrated directly into Premiere Pro, which is Adobe's leading editing software that is used by 10 million people in the US alone. And I it was about 90% accurate based on what I would have chosen. We did kind of a test based on like, what would it select, this AI using computer vision, and what would I select? And it was about 90% accurate, which really impressed me. And what was cool is the guy who I was working on it with, he comes with experience in the autonomous driving industry. And it was fascinating because the way, if you think about the way that cars drive autonomously, is they're covered in cameras and they're constantly analyzing footage, going, oh, and having to make a decision on it. Oh, that's a person crossing the street. Oh, that's a stop sign. And so it's utilizing a lot of the same things that we have to utilize when looking at footage. Oh, is this shot stable? Is this shot in focus? Is it lit well? Is the subject of the frame composed well, you know, and then having to make a decision based on that, meaning cut here, don't cut here, cut here. So fast forward about a year, I secured, you know, I got connected to a friend who connected me to just a pre-seed investor who was interested. And he came on board and kind of gave us our first pre-seed funding of 50K. And that's where we were able to develop our kind of beta version. And we did some beta testing with some users who were great and gave us a lot of good feedback. And then we launched that beta version publicly in January of this year and have since seen about over 2,000 signups and generating, you know, over about almost $1,000 monthly in revenue. So it's we're still in the like beta stage. There's a lot of, you know, bugs that and features that I want like improved and added on just as a user. And so I've seen people that are using it just be really excited and come to me with a lot of ideas for how to improve upon it. And that's just one kind of instance that I see in the post-production world as to how a lot of the things we do technically can be improved and made more efficient while still keeping control as a creative and as a creator. Yeah. It's just one kind of facet. There's ideas that I have in the that could solve problems in the sound design process, in the color grading process, and the animation process. And so I'm just really excited to keep growing ClipSense and to keep improving upon that and grow our other products offerings that are solving real problems for our clients and other filmmakers out there.
Yeah, I love this story. I mean, because you're not technical, right? You're not a coder. You're not someone that not has tech experience. But obviously this problem that was keeping you literally up at night, like sparked the idea for something that is like now huge. And now, I mean, now you have some traction. You have investors. Like this is a kind of a wild ride. Did you ever imagine that this is something that you wanted to do, like create something that is more technical and outside of the creative aspect of things? Or, you know, did it ever pique your interest?
Yeah, no, definitely not something I would have guessed that I'd be involved in. But I'm definitely discovering my love for building and for bringing people together that are more talented than me to achieve it, to take a risk on my crazy ideas, like our first developer did, you know, doing that proof of concept out of just the his own passion for wanting to try new things. And that's like where some really fun stuff can be made and some magic can happen.
Yeah. And can you also like clarify, like who's your target customer? Because obviously this, I think in one of our conversations, you talked about how it's mostly for like long video, right? For a lot of video, for people that are not necessarily for the everyday consumer or everyday creative that is like, you know, social media, but who's your target customer?
Yeah, it's a great question. So as ClipSense stands right now, and the use case that it was developed for, which was for me, was for event footage or event filmmakers. So people that are shooting lots of content. So that could be weddings even. And documentaries is another big one as well. So documentary production companies, filmmakers that are dealing with lots and lots of B-roll and lots of content. We will be expanding, hopefully, into being able to sort through interview content as well. And so just, people that are some filmmakers that are in the wedding event and documentary space.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of synergies here with how you do how do you operate your studio and now essentially this like internal startup in a way. But, you know, as a boutique studio or, you know, you work with big brands, like how have you approached like scaling your organization, your company? And do you also like require funding from investors for that other piece of the work, or how do you navigate that?
Yeah. So for the client side service based business where we're getting project requests in and then quoting that work, and doing it on a per project basis, it's all just been, you know, bootstrapped by the revenue and growing that. I found over the years, and this wasn't something that I knew right away, but something that reflecting on the past about 2.5 years that Voke has existed is the way to scale and the way to really get anything done is through other people. You know, there's Dan Sullivan's Who Not How book. There's another guy that I really like, Scott Galloway. He says, greatness is found in the agency of others. And that's really the ability to accomplish anything at scale is through finding the right people. So for me specifically, that's been finding a creative producer, finding a creative director, and then finding like a creative technologist, someone who is more technical, and then myself, who can work on vision and, you know, herding all of that together and get us all into a kind of a guiding future and vision to move the right way. Having those four key members in place, the team, really unlocks a lot from us from an operational standpoint, from a creative standpoint. And then from there, we bring on trusted and very experienced animators, editors, sound designers, color grade artists, VFX artists. And we have a deep bench of those people. I'm always looking for more collaborators, people who are the best at what they do and much better than myself, which is really cool. A lot of the times these people are so much more talented than me. Where, you know, I started out as the editor, but I love getting to bring on people that are just like blowing me away with their work and are willing to join the team, you know, hop on the bus for a project and just blow, you know, our client's mind with what they're able to create. And just like getting to foster that connection and that relationship is really rewarding for me. I love getting to like solve their problem by connecting them with someone who's going to do it way better than me even, but under the Voke umbrella. And it's a really good symbiotic relationship and between us and our contractors. as we protect them, you know, from the client side of things and the craziness, and they get to do their best work. But yeah, from a scaling standpoint, that's just based on per project. And then we haven't and probably won't seek any outside funding for the Vogue Studios side of things, but we'll rather bring that in for the product development that we do.
Cool. And I'm curious, actually, like, how do you see studios and creators like adapting to the increasing pace of technology, you know, with AI, with all the new tools that are coming up? Like, what are some of the trends that you're seeing there?
Yeah, it's really a mixed bag, I would say. Sorry, I'll take that again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really a mixed bag, I would say. There's the creators that are being very stubborn, and I think for good reasons. I think there's merit in that, and not just blindly stepping into technology without being cautious first. But then there are the people that are pivoting really well, I think. So I've seen a lot of DPs or directors of photography, people that were on set a lot of times, moving and becoming more technical with generative AI, and they're using their skill for lighting, for composition, for understanding how to tell a story visually, and learning the technical side of it. And if you think about it, like, you had to, as a creator, you had to learn how to use a tool no matter what you wanted to do to create film. You couldn't just like create film out of nothing. You had to use a camera, you have to learn to use a computer, to use learn to use technology to accomplish your vision. And yeah, it might not be what you expected, but I see a lot of people in the creative industry that were really good DPs are becoming very, very good AI artists. And I think a lot more people are using it in their pipeline than you would think as well. There's so many different tools out there that can assist in the process. And right now, they just assist. They don't replace. And they can generate really cool reference images for VFX. They can generate really cool, you know, even full-on spec ads for brands to get ideas on things. And yeah, so I'd say the trends, like, technically really are really going towards the more creative control you have. So something like where Midjourney started, or you know, even Google Veo, don't have a ton of customization and consistency across characters, but that's getting a lot better. And people are starting to develop tools where you can control the specific aspects, like lighting, like color, like style, you know, and apply that to keep consistent characters, consistent, you know, whatever else you want it to stay. And that's really cool. Like, that's when this really starts to get useful instead of just novel.
Yeah. And this is another question that is just coming up right now to me, but like, on the flip side, you know, like, I think there's a lot of AI integration in video editing tools and everything's evolving so fast, but like, how would you say, or how do you make sure that the content like remains authentic and trustworthy, and, you know, as opposed to like fake videos going out there and like, you know, going viral? Like, how do we keep that like creative integrity intact? Can we even do that? Is it out of control already?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think it was before the AI boom, I would say. I kind of am a bit of a pessimist when it does come to that side of things with the, you know, you put a tool into the hands of humanity and we're going to find a way to bring a lot of goodness out of it, but we're also going to find a way to bring a lot of evil as well, and just not good value into society. And what the solution is to that is definitely some regulation. I would say it's got to start there. And I'm, you know, running my own business, clearly a fan of capitalism, but I think what we can't have is unregulated technology. And not just from AI is going to take over the world doomsday scenario, but more so in the hands of bad actors, it's going to outscale anything that we can control.
Yeah. Yeah. Things always evolve, and good and bad comes out of everything, really, not just AI. I mean, there's a lot of talk right now also about quantum computing, and that's, you know, what are the environmental impacts there too for Chicago especially. But
yeah,
speaking of Chicago, let's talk a little bit about the city. Like, so you're based in Chicago, Chicagoland, and I'm curious what has been your experience having your business here, and, you know, if you've had a good ecosystem that has supported you in the film industry and like in the production industry, how is the support there here?
It's amazing. I would say I wouldn't have stuck around if it hadn't been so. Chicago is really coming into its own. I think it's like got a really exciting new era ahead, which, you know, we talk about it like it's this third party system entity that exists, but it's made up of great people. And like I said earlier, that's just how you achieve anything great. And I have, you know, been connected with countless creatives, filmmakers in Chicago over the last 12 years. And it's amazing how widespread and hardworking. I think you have a lot of that Midwestern, like, hard work ethic in a very unique and creative space, which just creates like such an awesome synergy of productivity, of uniqueness, and yeah, amazing, like just salt of the earth. Like it has depth, you know. Chicago has depth, whereas I think you hear the critique a lot of coastal cities can lack that. And so I love the people here, and yeah, I love working here. And there's a really amazing mixture of creatives and people that would consider themselves more technical and non-creative, although I inherently think they are creative people. And so that's what's been really surprising to me, actually, is even getting connected with people like you, like how big the tech scene is in Chicago. Yeah. So when you have like such an awesome creative filmmaking hub, mix that with the tech side of things, you get some awesome, awesome like experiences, tool, content, art. Yeah. Amazing collaborations. And so I think like Chicago really reflects who I am and like who I want to be in that sense, you know, kind of this double-sided filmmaker creative with the technical and like creating and building and solving problems that I don't know if I would be able to find much any other place.
Yeah, agreed. Love that. And as we are, you know, talking about like film, like creatives and all of that, I recently, Chicago released their new slogan, sort of, you know, within the creative community. Like
video.
There's this video that is like, Chicago is like, never done, never outdone. Have you seen that video yet? It's
no.
Like circulating in social right now. It's pretty cool. It's like, it was revealed to us at World Business Chicago not too long ago.
Nice.
And Choose Chicago is like .org. I think it's where it's at. But if you get a chance after this, I'll send you the link, but it's like never done, never outdone. And this is this beautiful video about Chicago and like the film, like the film is just like project. Like, I think it really did a really great job of projecting the city. And you should definitely check it out. I was like, I know a couple of guys that work in film. I got to show them to them.
Definitely. Never done. Never outdone.
Yeah.
Dude,
I'm sure you could just Google it right now and then you can see it. It's beautiful. But speaking of like collaboration and just, you know, your networks, and do you have any cool projects coming up or anything that stands out with collaborations in your network?
Well, I would say if you're looking to get more connected to the Chicago film scene, Filmmaker Friday Chicago is a great organization that has been started by my buddy Armin. It is a new chapter built off of the Filmmaker Friday network that started in New York City originally and grew to be very large. It was actually started from our producer who used to work at Vogue and who has recently just transitioned off the team. And then it got wind here in Chicago. And so that's been really fun to kind of be a part of the at the ground level and see that grow. Armin's just killing it. And that's like a great place for the Chicago scene to start if you're looking for that. But then as far as our specific projects, yeah, we've got lots of irons in the fire going. One that that's been really fun is a piece for FIFA. The World Cup is coming to the US and there is lots of need for informing, teaching, educating, entertaining, creating some hype. And the football player Ocho Cinco is a huge soccer fan.
He is.
And so there's a new series coming out from FIFA where he's taking someone who is not familiar with soccer and he's taking them to a game and you just kind of see their experience where what's their life like. So he took the first episode we're doing the post-production on, he took a famous skateboarder out. And I don't want to say too much about it to not spoil anything before it comes out, but it's really fun getting to see someone be so excited about something so knowledgeable that's from a different sport. You know, he didn't play soccer. And seeing him take, you know, people around and getting experience that, it's definitely kind of like in the tone of the Wrexham series by Ryan Reynolds and stuff like that. So that's been really fun. And then with the speaking of kind of like tech startups, there's a new social media app coming out called Gist Vox, GISTVOX, where it's based all completely on sound clips. So instead of scrolling and reading, you just would put it on, go for a walk, daily commute, whatever. And it's going to like give you a feed of personalized sound clips. Could be podcasts, could be a note from your husband or wife. It could be, you know, like your personalized feed. And it's just kind of like the idea of radio reinvented for a social media age. And so we're doing the teaser launch video for that. And I'm really excited with kind of how we're approaching that. So that all comes out in the next couple of weeks. And yeah, I'm sure there will be many more things to come.
Yeah, that's exciting. Well, I'm, you know, in this journey that you've been in now, and as a creative, as a founder, as all the things, really. What has been your biggest lesson, like, you know, that you can kind of group with just a piece of advice for other creatives or entrepreneurs out there that are, you know, interested in, you know, trying something new or building that thing that they've been putting off? Like what can you say to that?
Yeah. So I think for entrepreneurs, a lot of times we're starters, right? We like to create new things and it can be hard to stay consistent and to see that idea through to the end. And that can be frustrating when then you've dreamed up a new idea for a company or just a project, or you go, I want to achieve this amount of success from this. It could be, you know, influence, it could be monetarily, it could be just in our own personal sense of success. And by not seeing that through, you won't reach that success. You'll just start it. I know that's what I find a lot of times with myself is I'll start something in dreams of the end. I don't have the follow through to see it through the end. And then it feels like a failure. It gets hard. And then you move on to something else. And so being stuck in this, you know, for a while, I've been stuck in this kind of like starter mentality as opposed to a follow through mentality. And the only way to do that for those that are similar, you know, entrepreneurs that like to start things is really finding the right people to help you execute on it. Instead of just trying to like, hit your head up against the wall and just grind, like, that's not going to get you anywhere. You can't force yourself to be someone that you're not. And instead of thinking like, okay, how can I get this done? It really needs any way you can get anything done is by other people. Even if you go, okay, I need this website made, or I need this problem solved, or I need this amount of marketing done, or whatever it is. You have to find someone that's going to be able to do that for you and with you. And so that's where my biggest lesson has really become, instead of starting with how am I going to get something done, it really is starting with who can help me get it done and help me, keep me accountable, help me see it through, give me energy when I'm down, and vice versa. So with Voke and with ClipSense, that's really what I'm focusing on, is like, as an entrepreneur, I really need to get good at finding talented people that want to join the mission with me. There's really nothing else that's more important than that, because that will drive every other thing that needs to get done in order for you to achieve.
Yeah, greatness. No, I like that. I feel like everybody needs their community, and that's kind of what I feel too. You know, like, yeah, you know, you need to build your community, build your team, build and keep going. So
yeah.
All right, as we close out, I'm curious about what you're excited for the future. You know, what's coming next for Voke Studios, or for you, or just any direction shifts, or anything that, or growth plans, anything that you're excited about for the future?
Yeah, I am specifically excited about getting kind of the machine learning department launched for Voke, and really come out more unified with the right team members to make some amazing traction, you know, with these products that we have. You know, I talk to clients all the time. They're like, hey, when you make that thing that you told me about, when you can solve this problem we experience, like, we are so ready. So it's just like, the need is there, and it's finding the right people, like I've been saying constantly, to help me get it there and get it done, and bring some real value to people, help, you know, filmmakers everywhere that are looking to do this at a greater scale, more efficient, faster. We're launching our new website soon, and just excited about being able to serve the need.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think this conversation helped me a lot, actually. It's a lot of things are resonating right now. You know, like in this journey, I feel like I've been in tech, you know, for the last, like, God, almost 10 years, and like in the startup ecosystem and working with founders and, you know, trying to get, just make my mark. And I think, this was definitely needed, this conversation. I feel like I, right now, getting into economic development a little bit with World Business Chicago is like opening eyes for me about like different opportunities that are out there that have the same synergies, you know, like that my background actually can also be applied and in this other area. So appreciate this conversation, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing the podcast. I think it takes a lot of consistency to do this. Yeah. And so very impressed with your ability to keep talking with great people. And hopefully I can be one of the many voices that can offer some value.
Yeah. Appreciate that. And with that, for anyone that is interested in connecting with you, or just, you know, reaching out about either Voke or anything, where can they find you?
Yep. Instagram at Gavin_Buckland, or reach out via our website, VokeStudios.com.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you. I hope, you know, hope the best for you, hope the best for the org and for ClipSense. It sounds really exciting. So keep me updated. Would love to hear more about it, learn more about it as you continue to scale. And if you are looking for other talent, hit me up. I used to work with a lot of software engineers too, so I might know some folks that can help. But best of luck with everything.
Thank you. Yeah, that would be great. We are looking for producers, like I said, creative directors, and full stack engineers. So thank you again for having me.
Yeah, no problem. See ya. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Chicago Techies Podcast. If you enjoy listening, don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a review on iTunes. Let's continue the conversation on social media. We are at Chicago Techies on all social media platforms. Thank you again, and we'll see you next time.